You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is Anthony Tonin with Entertainment, and he's in the studio. We'll be having a chat very soon. Keep those texts coming in if you would like that $50 voucher. We'll give it away shortly as well.
Julie, your name isn't it now? But you don't make the board of this kind of company to tiptoe around. To win yourself a new friend. No, if you have to roll heads, you roll them. You know why you were brought in.
This is Anthony Tonin with Entertainment. Kia ora, how are you? Morena, morena, Anthony. How's it going this morning?
Tēnā koe. It's going very well.
That is good to hear. That's very good to hear. It's really nice to have you in the studio chatting ahead of your wonderful record, which will be out on Friday. Exciting stuff. Leave Love Out of This. We've also got the title track out in the world now, which we'll listen to after we've had a chat. And they're both these two songs that we've just listened to, Entertainment, and we'll be listening to that other track shortly. They're both wonderful classic bits of Anthony Tonin in terms of their storytelling and their scope that they kind of reach. How have you been feeling leading up to this big release this Friday?
It's been great. I feel like, gosh, I mean, I started making this record, I released Two Free Hands, went on tour and thought, cool, record's coming soon. And then I through surprise got pulled into making A Synthesized Universe, this show for planetariums, and then from there, then I suddenly accidentally got interested in New Zealand's public transport system, and so I spent like 2 years making the Railland show. But I learned so much along the way, you know, releasing a few singles connected to like immersive tours. And I never felt in a hurry to put out the record because I was touring and I was working. But I also think that, you know, my friend said to me the other day, a very like woo-woo 90s thing, like water finds its own level. And it just feels like it's the right time. And the record has actually arrived now on vinyl. And it took many calls to the pressing plant to make sure they actually did put it on a plane. But it is here, and it just feels like it's all rolled out in the right way.
We have actually got a copy in here, and it looks beautiful, first of all. Gorgeous record. This one, the deluxe version, bright green, glamorous bright green vinyl with a little 7-inch tucked in as well. You were saying the 7-inch, the song on it is so long, you actually have to flip the record halfway.
That's right. So there's a ninth song on the record, which you only get if you buy the record in some way, so the Bandcamp version, or like the Bandcamp digital version, or a CD, or a record. And the Lockheed Bomber is a like 6.5 minute kind of ode to the Ballad of Harry North by the Verlaines.
Amazing.
Like through composed, pretty indulgent. But yes, to add to the indulgence, Jonathan and I got to this point where we were finalizing the record master about a year ago. And our mastering engineer in Portland came back and said, sorry guys, can't have that song on the record. You'll ruin the whole record because the record will be too long.
Oh no.
And so we were like, well, what do we do?
And then we were
like, actually 7-inch, but you have to turn it over halfway. And because it's a song with three sections, there's this perfect moment in between two sections that you flip it over.
Amazing.
Oh, awesome.
That's so good. So this is Jonathan Pierce of The Beths, who has helped you create this record in his studio. How was that process? Because it must be quite nice. You seem to be someone who goes back to working with friends you've worked with in the past, or that you've sort of been around the scene with for a while. It must be nice to be able to sort of see this project through with people that you know well and you've worked with before.
Yeah, and I was just talking off here about Daniel Alexander, who makes the art as well. A lot of people I've worked with for a really, really long time. And, you know, when you're a musician, it is always tempting when you're making a new thing to go, okay, oh, it's a new record, I'll get a new producer. And look, sometimes it's absolutely the thing you need to do.
Yeah.
But there's something so beautiful when you've been doing this a little while to keep working with people, and even though you're annoying each other and you've got little deep-seated arguments that never go away, there's something beautiful when you do something together and it's just a little nod and you raise an eyebrow and it's like, yeah, we've been talking about that for about 12 years, you know? And we finally did it. We finally did that little thing that we've always wanted to do. It felt good, but at the same time, it's been so interesting. It's not perfect analogy, but it's felt like a generation ship. You take off from one planet with one group of people and you come out at a new planet as a new group of people. Obviously Jonathan and I haven't, you know, made separate procreations and we're not each other's grandchildren. But I do feel like we've come out of this record, it's been a generation ship for us. We've come out as completely different people in a completely different world. I mean, the Beths were still doing $10 gigs at Whammy Bar when we started making record.
And now they're stadium darlings, basically.
Yes, right.
I mean, that must be pretty special to look at yourself and also at your peers and see how far you've come, but also hear these like through lines that have always been interesting to you, especially in your songwriting. You are, you know, somebody who is drawn to a weird and wonderful story, and I wanted to know what you know, at what point do you think this is a song? There's a song in this. Where do you know that with a, you know, a person or a bit of public infrastructure? How do you know that's going to become a song?
Yeah, I've been trying to clarify it lately and see if I can define it. I mean, maybe that's a bad idea. Maybe it'll have to change once I've clarified it. But I think what it is, you know, you can write a song. And I did a songwriting camp a year or two ago, which was really fun. You worked with LA songwriters and their whole process is like, right, let's get three of us in a room and let's write a song today.
You're like, oh no, that's so stressful.
And I could do it. I could sit in there and we could come out at the end of the day with a song. But yep, the song would tend to be feelings, which is lovely. You know, a cool tune, yep, and some emotions. And that's at its heart, that's a song. But what I've realized is that an Anthony Tonin song, it needs to have another layer. And I think it's like it's a political economy layer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's still love songs or songs to do with, you know, regular people's emotions, but it's always people coming into conflict with, you know, the world around them, with bureaucracy, with infrastructure, with capitalism. It's just like, it's how people interact with their political economy as well as their personal life.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's something that is so specific, and we've talked about this before, that kind of like specificity in your songwriting, and that maybe specifically New Zealand, or maybe it's specifically something to do with like places that have been colonized or are colonies, where we've got this cultural cringe around hearing maybe our own narratives reflected back to us or our own voices reflected back to us. And I think we're starting to push through that a little bit. So what I love about your music is that it definitely just pushes right through that, and it goes, nah, don't worry about that, we're just going to talk about these interesting and like unique stories that we have here. I wondered how you felt when you looked at this whole record and your wonderful extra song on it and everything. How did you know all these tracks were going to end up on this album? Was there a through line, or was it a collection of different pieces that felt right together?
It's funny, there's two ways that I can write, really, and this goes back to when I lived in Auckland. I used to hang out with a lot of Elam kids and you know, sneak into the art galleries on K Road for the free Heinekens.
Still a classic move to pull, to be honest. Yeah.
And my friend Tarity would kind of share some wisdom from her time at Elam, and one of the things that she told me that stuck with me the most is there's a difference between having a artistic practice and working to commission. So when you're working to commission, you might be asked to do a group show, so you're like, shit, I have to make this art thing. And then you make it to deadline. But a practice is where you work in your studio for no reason and no expectation of where it's going to go. And I guess I've now got a bit of both. So when I make a Railland show, I need some new specific Railland show songs for that show. And so I do write to commission to that. And that's great because it's a great exercise.
Totally.
It kicks my ass a little bit. But through the process of making this album, the idea was these songs were always going to be practice songs. So I always sat down and I didn't know where I was going to go with them or what the thread was, but I let them lead me. And you know, sometimes they're political economy songs, but they don't necessarily agree with my view of the world either. And in that case, they start to inhabit some sort of character or something like that. I haven't really defined it too much before making the record, but I sort of know once I hear it.
Yeah.
And these songs have, if anything, have sort of these songs have guided me about where I'm going rather than the other way around.
No, I know exactly what you mean. And I think that is a really interesting distinction. You can kind of hear it in your writing as well. They're both fantastic, but they are quite different. The music you hear for like a Railland show and the stuff we're going to get on this record as well. I do have to ask you, it's nothing to do with your album, but I want to hear about The Elevator Whanganui. Cool. Tell us about this wonderful bit of public transport that you are sort of helming down in Whanganui. What's happening there?
Yeah, well, it kind of makes perfect sense. I just never realised it until a couple months ago. So in Whanganui, we have basically, arguably, you could call it one of New Zealand's only like metro systems. Because, you know, with a metro, you go down a tunnel underground, and then you go on a horizontal plane from one station to the other.
Mm-hmm.
In Whanganui, we have something opposite. You go into a tunnel, into a hill, and then you've got essentially a little two-stop metro that takes you to a hilly suburb. And it's great because it saves you an exhausting 15-minute walk.
Excellent. Is it like something like 100 and something or other stairs?
191 stairs.
Oh, crikey.
But it gets you there in, you know, it takes 3 minutes to walk the tunnel and it's 55 seconds to take the elevator. And our frequency is 3.5 minutes. And the interesting thing is that our bus frequency in Whanganui is about 2 hours in some suburbs. But because it's so unusual, this elevator, it survived the two big ruptures in public transport in the 20th century, the dissolving of the trams in the 50s and the restructuring of public transport services in 1991, you know, to make it more privatised and to take it out of city control. But because each time they were like, no, it's a building, it's not a bus, you know, we've somehow survived. Anyway,
how old is it? It's like
102 years old in August.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's incredible. And you know, I always knew it was there and it was a really special thing. And I always thought it was a really symbolic part of our public transport system. But it just kind of did its own thing because Zena and Raywin, who were running it, Zena had been working there for 50 years.
Wow.
So it was just steady and they always had a great public transport ethos. They kept it really cheap.
Cool.
Kept it as $2.
Awesome.
And you know, like, they didn't take shit.
Yeah.
They treated it just like a real solid bus driver would.
Excellent.
But when it came up for tender a couple of months ago, I thought, oh gosh, you know, like,
this is my bag.
I really want to improve Whanganui's public transport, but what if someone takes it over and sees it the wrong way and maybe focuses on the touristy thing? Because as a tourist experience, it's actually worth more money.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I've got to make a case. How can I make a case now that it's already gone out to tender? I'll just put in a tender so that I've at least made my argument about why it needs to remain public transport.
So that's awesome. So you have this now, you're in charge, kind of, you and your crew are in charge of the elevator.
Yeah.
Keeping it at public transport prices, keeping it at regular frequency. Is that the case? Regular?
Yeah. So it's the longest you'll really wait, unless there's a line, is 3.5 minutes, because if you got there just as I was leaving, then it would be 55 seconds for me to get up. I'd talk to them for 20 seconds and then come down.
Amazing.
But it's on demand. Essentially, you turn up, ring the bell, and elevator
you'll,
turns
you'll
up.
You'll arrive.
Amazing.
Yeah. Tim's in there at the moment. I'm sort of checking my phone nervously. It's my first. It's funny because, you
it's
know,
your
like,
first trip away from the lift.
I won the tender, surprisingly. And then it was just like, okay, next week I'm in an elevator for 70 hours a week.
Fantastic. So that's where to find you if you head down to Whanganui. Yeah. But if people want to find you here in Tamaki Makaurau, you're going to be playing at the Hollywood Avondale on, I think it's the 9th, is it, of October?
Yeah.
And celebrating this wonderful album Leave Love Out of This, which is out in the world on Friday. Anthony, thank you very much for coming in and speaking to us this morning. It's always great to have you in the studio. I think we should leave on the title track of the record. Any last words, any tips or tricks you want to tell people about before the gig?
Oh, thank you for having me. I guess the only thing that I would say is, as well as this big show, which I'm really excited about, we're just going to have a little free vinyl ceremony on Thursday
awesome.
Night at Flying Out, where you can we're just going to put the record on, play the Indulgent 7-inch.
Nice.
you know, just a chance to listen to it for the first time. It's free. It's 6 p.m. on Thursday night.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you on Thursday, and then we'll see you in October. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Speaking present tenses, stay in a moment that exists. The future is irrelevant to you, the past isn't must. So leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love. Someone who believes now. Well, bury your anger tonight, bury your frustration. I found it like this. For illusions that we could still resist. If we could trade emotion for clear mathematics and leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love. Someone who believes, leave love. To someone who believes, and I.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.